nights about striving together. And as we get into scripture tonight, I want to start off with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And the idea that I want to lead off with here is speaking the truth in love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue on here. Precious Father, Lord, as we come to you, just ask once more, Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word. God, that you would get the glory in your house today. Lord, that you would move me aside, and that you would just remove the stammering tongue and the clutterness of my mind. That Father would be able to just speak truth from your word, and that the saints in your house today would be edified. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So as we're getting into this today, the idea that I want to continue is Pastor was talking on Wednesday, he had mentioned the different positions in the body. He had mentioned the purpose of those positions. He talked about what a mature Christian looks like. A mature saint will be stable and not tossed about and misled by false doctrine. He's not easily sidetracked by his own personal desires or his own fleshly desires. They'll have a Christ-centered mindset. And speaking the truth one to another in grace and love. And that, you know, that last idea, speaking the truth to one another in grace and love, you know, sometimes I think we say before we think. You know, the mind doesn't engage as fast as the tongue does. And part of that being just, you know, immaturity, yes, but then there's also just the bit that sometimes our tongue is quick. And even James talks about how it's a fiery sword and whatnot. But the idea tonight or this afternoon that I want to try and get across is we're going to look at there are gifts within the body. And there are roles and positions, but there's something that each and every person that's a child of God is capable of doing that is vitally important. And we don't want to downplay that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so, you know, I grew up in church, and a lot of times I would hear people say, well, I'm not the pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a teacher, what role do I play? What significance can I bring to the church? So, you know, as we look at Romans 12, 3, he's saying every man to not think more highly of himself than he ought. And so, sometimes I feel that we can downplay our role. I'm not saying that we need to think good of ourselves, but our role in this body is vitally important, even as Job had talked about in Sunday school. You know, there are things that need to be done that people are good at. Like, Amy is good at doing the bulletins. If I did the bulletins, it would probably look like a three-year-old did it. There are little things that we all do that we may downplay and think, it's really not that significant, it's not that important, it's not that big of a deal. But in the end, they all work together. And our role as members here at Black Grove Baptist Church, our role is important, whatever role that may be. I mean, yes, we have two deacons. We have a pastor. We have teachers. But as members, we have an important role in helping and getting things done or in prayer. And prayer is really where I want to focus just a little bit today. I don't plan on this being long, mainly because Pastor covered a lot of things that I had already planned on Wednesday, and so then it just cut everything short. But we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, you know, this 1 Corinthians chapter 12 passage, again, like Romans 12, is talking about gifts within the church. And, you know, the whole passage that's talking about gifts and whatnot is verses 12 through 26. We're just going to read 12 through 18 right now. But again, talking about the fact that, you know, we understanding that our role within Black Grove Baptist Church is significant. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 18. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And so, again, trying to understand that we all play a pivotal role. If we were to take a football team, right, and everybody was the quarterback, would we get anywhere? No. If everybody was a lineman, well, you could maybe get somewhere, but you would never score because you wouldn't have people moving the ball around. The idea that everybody in the church has their specific role is where we need to really focus ourselves and say, God, what is my role? Not looking around. And this is something that God really worked on my heart on, you know, as we've been going through this series. And not saying, okay, why isn't this happening? Or why isn't this person doing this? Or why is it that there's only this person doing this labor? Or whatever. When we need to be looking and saying, God, what is the role that you have for me? Help me to fulfill it. You know, Pastor talked on Wednesday night, he said, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. It's so easy to sit there and look across the aisle and say, oh, well, you know, If they would help out with this, then life would be so much easier. The function of the church would be so much better. But that's not our place. Our place needs to be, again, looking at God's word, applying it to our lives, and saying, what would you have me to do? Not so much looking across the aisle and say, well, why aren't you doing that? You know, it's really easy to look through a window and think you have the whole picture. And you don't. You don't know what's going on. When we really just need to pull up the perfect mirror of God's word and seek his face and say, again, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to serve? You know, the idea in Romans 12:3 says, but to think soberly. And that term soberly gives us the idea to put a moderate estimate upon oneself, to think of oneself soberly. You know, so we could say, like I said, the general idea of Romans 12:3 is more of not thinking highly of myself, not looking down my nose at the next person, thinking, well, you know, I've done this, and so, you know, I've arrived, or I think myself better because I do this. A sober thought would be, again, recognizing that save Christ in my life, there's nothing good about me. And again, recognizing that he's the one that's going to do work through us successfully. You know, we can show up and do the mail outs and as a act of service, but unless we're seeking God's face in prayer, asking him to bless it, he's not going before us. And we need to put him before us in our life and in everything that we're doing. Acts chapter 12. Go over to Acts chapter 12. And this is probably one of my favorite Bible stories, because one, we see the importance of prayer, and two, we see that as a lot of times we spend time in prayer, we'll pray about something, but we're really not praying in faith it's going to happen. But in Acts chapter 12, verses 4 through 17, is the whole story of Peter getting locked in prison, right? And so in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, and when he had apprehended him, that was Herod, had apprehended Peter, he put him into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So I'm going to say that, you know, right here now, I don't know how many four quaternions are, but, you know, centurions, you know, that was 100, right? So they had one guy covered by a lot of people because they didn't want him to get away. Anyways, point being, verse 5 said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So because of the fact that Peter was locked in prison and the intention was that Peter was going to be put to death because Herod was persecuting the Christians at that time. And then we go down to verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so these people were praying on Peter's behalf. The angel goes into the prison. Now, I mean, he walks in, the angel goes in, takes the bands off of Peter. He's shackled. And he tells Peter, put on your coat, and they just walk out. Now, how does that work? That just works because God does it. But, you know, it's interesting to see how God's angel works on behalf. And then we go into verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Again, these people are gathered together praying on Peter's behalf. And it says, and as Peter knocked on the door, the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So, you know, Peter's like, hey, hello. She comes, she recognizes it's Peter. She leaves him standing outside the gate, runs back and tells everybody, Peter's out of prison, he's here. They're like, no. You read on down through it. He said, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is an angel. But Peter continued to knock, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So the idea of us praying, right, is that, one, we're seeking the Lord's face, like, God, what do you want to do in my life? Another point of praying is intercessory prayer, where we're praying on another's behalf to the Lord, seeking His face, asking Him to move. But, you know, one of the things that you got to think about is the prayer of faith. You know, our faith has to be in the Lord, not in our own works. But, I mean, if we're going to seek the Lord's face and ask Him to move or work in something, it needs to be a prayer of faith. Lord, I'm asking You to do this with the expectation or the anticipation that You're going to move in this. So I bring all that up, and I say, we're sending out all these mail-outs. And we're going to pray that the Lord would work in them and that He would use them in people's lives. But as members of Plaque Road Baptist Church, are you ready? If an opportunity came up where you could work in someone's life because they needed to have a Bible study. Just throwing it out there. Pastor can't do, 30 Bible studies. He's doing 2 right now, and he's busy. As members, we need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word and be able to sit down with someone and show them the truth through God's Word. You know, we're supposed to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, right? Well, what is that hope? That I can trust in God. Why can I trust in God? Because He's shown Himself faithful before. Well, how has He shown Himself faithful before? It's all, the who, what, when, where, why, how. It's a grade school thing, right? But we, as a child of God, should be able to take His Word and explain the very basics to somebody, their need of a Savior. Why? How? So our role at Plaque Road Baptist Church may not be a pastor, may not be a teacher, may not be a deacon. But our role as members at Plaque Road Baptist Church is to study God's Word. We're commanded to study to show ourselves approved, and workmen unto God need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if somebody says, hey, you know, like Thursday at prison, guy asked about faith and works, and, you know, if salvation isn't by works, but what is James talking about? And you know, Pastor Humphrey and I sit there and kind of, you know, open the Bible and show them some things to teach them. There's a lot of times that there's people in our life that know a little bit, and knowing a little bit is kind of dangerous because they don't know enough. They don't know the right things, that they're a sinner, that they need to be saved. They don't know who Christ is, really. You know, a lot of people still believe that Christ was just a good man. Yeah, he was a real man here on the earth, but he was just a good man. He wasn't God. Are you able to refute that? Are you able to show somebody in the Scripture that Christ was God? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. And again, you know, talking about the different roles that we have, but prayer is something that every child of God can do. And I'm not trying to downplay it and say it's something simple and something easy. Spending time with the Lord in prayer is hard. And that's something that God's really been convicting me about lately. We have, you know, members that are hurting. And, you know, taking their name to the Lord in prayer is something that we can do to be an encouragement to them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, again talking about prayer, it says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The idea of the effectual, fervent prayer, you know, that's it's not just that 5 minute, well, I pray that you would help in this situation. That's continually going to the Lord, pleading the case, pleading the cause, asking him to help, asking for him to work in people's lives. You know, it says of a righteous man availeth much. Well, we all know that, you know, that there's none righteous, no, not one, right? What that verse is getting at when they say that is it someone who has gotten their life right with the Lord. If we have sin in our life, God has promised that he would not hear us when we pray. So it's coming to him, acknowledging the things in our life and asking forgiveness, but intercessory prayer on someone else's behalf, seeking the Lord's work. You know, again, I've kind of gone over and over and over this. The position, the role that we all have in this body is so important. And even in 1 Corinthians 12:18. It talks about how God has set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. So God's desire in this local body, the Plaque Row Baptist Church, is that we would fulfill the Great Commission, and that is to go and teach and draw people to Christ and show them their need for salvation, right? He's placed the members in this body. So if God feels it important enough that he's placed you in this body, he feels it important enough for you to have a role in fulfilling the Great Commission, into working to that goal. And I submit to you that one of the most basic things that we can do in fulfilling that goal and that desire in our life is pray. Seek the Lord's face. Pray for yourself, pray for your neighbor, pray for the church members. And having the idea that that I'm not able to be a part shouldn't be the ideology that we have in our life, because we are a child of the King. And He wouldn't ask us to do something that He wouldn't fulfill through us. Just a small challenge this afternoon. He said, where God's really been just working in my heart about, you know, the roles that we all play, and that, you know, we shouldn't downplay what God has given to us and put us here for. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we just, again, thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. God, we thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word. We recognize, Lord, that there is nothing good about us, and there's nothing that we could accomplish that has eternal weight if You're not in it. And just ask, God, that You would just work in our lives here at Plaque Road, that You would help us, Lord, to understand our place and our role and what You desire to use us for and do through us here. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.